Hello, guys. This is the Comics of Doom podcast. Just to let you know, this episode is going to be nothing but New York Comic Con talk. The entire episode is going to be 2010 New York Comic Con, our experiences, the ups, the downs, the pitfalls, the possibilities, the perils, and the promise. But first, I want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by the wonderful folks over at InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. Two great places to save on all your comic book needs. So, without further ado, let's get right into this episode, 2010 New York Comic Con. Welcome back to another episode of Comics of Doom, the official comics podcast of geeksofdoom.com. My name is Justin Vactor. I'm here with Hate Man 21.
Whatever. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Hunter Camp.
That's me.
And we have a special guest, Princess of the Podcast, Eve of Doom.
Hello.
Now we're all here because we all went to New York Comic Con, right, guys?
Not all of us.
Not all of us.
So we're all here to share our thoughts on this New York Comic Con 2010.
Hey, he had to stay home and record podcasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. True.
And, like,
and play video
probably
games.
Probably recorded 50 podcasts while we were.
This is true. And please listen to the episode that you guys weren't on, because there was plenty of your names mentioned. So
great.
Check that out, boys.
Why would I listen to anything that doesn't involve that I wasn't on?
Hate, you don't listen
to anything you're involved with anywhere.
That's true. Speaking of Chris McDavid,
it's just because you're always there and I don't want to listen to you.
Chris McDavid wrote a story for geeksofdoom.com, which is the Batman Beyond miniseries, apparently is turning into an ongoing Mr. Chris McDavid.
I know at least one of us here, Mr. Hunter Camp, will be very pleased by that. Apparently,
because that's more Batman for him to buy. So.
Well, that's one truth. The other truth is the kind of where they set the story going with the miniseries, with like what they've kind of created the universe as. I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of what like the revelations in the book. We'll see if it can pull it back around. I've got a question for you. Is this actually like going to continue off the miniseries, or is it going to be something separate?
Well,
it could be like issue 7, 8.
No,
9.
It's going to be another. There'll be another
number one.
Okay. Yeah.
And
if that's the case, you know, they may be able to bring it in. It's also very likely they could you know rein in what was happening in Batman 700 with Damian with Terry.
Yeah, that's kind of one thing I've been curious about is they kind of have the two separate Batman Beyond comic continuities going on right now, and it's
miniseries that's going on right now, it sticks in the animated universe. So to see if it comes back into what's going on DC proper, you know, I'd probably like that a lot more. So I'm looking forward to what they're going to do.
Yeah, see, maybe I'm not as bad against it because I never watched the show that much. So the comic, the Batman Beyond comic, is kind of my first major introduction to it. So I'm not having as big a problem with it. I'm enjoying it, especially the art on it has been pretty solid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's like, again, with the last issue, there were a couple of panels that I didn't really enjoy. But, you know, it's really like everything up until issue, I believe it was 4. I really, really enjoyed everything up to that point. But then with kind of like what happened in this last issue, I mean, that's got to pull around, you know, for me to like buy me back into it.
They got a couple of issues to close the mystery from that first miniseries you're probably right. Since they're starting with the number one, they probably wrote the first miniseries as a completed story, and now they're gonna take it from there and see where else they can.
Yeah, I mean, since it is an ongoing, you know, hopefully they'll adjust a little bit and kind of make it more in tune with what's going on elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I guess so.
Also, relating to an animated project, Mr. Chris McDavid posted a little story about a Green Lantern animated series.
They showed not really no footage at this point because I guess the series won't be on for about another year at this point, they said. But they showed a lot of concept footage or a lot of concept art and kind of talked about the story and for the Green Lantern animated series that'll be on probably I think next fall. It'll be Hal Jordan as the lead, kind of Kilowog as his partner, and then they'll be fighting the Red Lanterns from the comics. It sounds like they're going to be working in all the rest of the orange, the blue, the purple, the mauve, the every color of the rainbow lantern.
Assuming by mauve you mean indigo.
Sure, whatever.
Indigo tribe.
Right. All those colors I'm sure will be showing up probably at some point. And they've got a secure through like 26 episodes planned, and then they'll see from there kind of. I know Cartoon Network hasn't always been the best about continuing shows. Sometimes they cut them short. A lot of times in their prime, it seems like. So
and the when they air stuff like this, it's a terrible time slot. Like,
yeah.
Batman Brave and the Bold airs at like 6:30 or 6 o'clock, you know, Central Standard or Central Time. And
it's
just completely bizarre.
My guess is that this one will probably be like in the off season from when they show the Clone Wars in that Friday night slot. Mm-hmm. Would be my guess. Wouldn't make the most sense for it, but then they could show it at like 12 in the afternoon or something. So, but my assumption, they said as much that it'll be in a primetime slot.
Yeah, because I mean, like a lot of the people that it's actually going to gear towards are people, you know, I'd say of our age demographic.
Yeah. So it should be pretty good. They showed like 20-second test animation, which was really rough. But it's going to be an all CG animated show again, looking a lot like the Clone Wars, but, I don't know. I mean, they didn't show anything really impressive, but Bruce Timm's connected with it. He's going to be running the show, and he's got a great pedigree with all his DC work. So I think the show's in good hands, but it's kind of one of those where I'll have to wait and see some actual footage from the show.
I know you mentioned that they're like bringing the other cores, and that's really ambitious, I'd say. Go straight in, like, because that's a pretty high concept to deal with. I think that's really cool. If it's the same, like crew that they've been working on for a while, I haven't been disappointed with the DC animated project since probably before the Batman animated series.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to really worry about it. It's just kind of one of those things where I'll want to see who they cast for the voices and
yeah.
Stuff like that, just some of the more details on it. But they did mention, like, somebody asked if they were planning on doing the Blackest Night story, and they said that they might do it, like, further down the road. They didn't have anything planned, but...
What did they show in the test footage? There was 20 seconds of test footage shown?
The 20 seconds, it was just Hal and Kilowog fighting through, like, a hallway full of Manhunters. And they did some ring-slinging stuff with some of the energy and kind of... fighting stuff, and then they run into a room. It's kind of like the Star Wars bit where Han Solo runs into the room full of stormtroopers.
Oh, okay.
This is that kind of gag. But it was rough footage. You could definitely tell that it wasn't finished, but everything moved pretty well. Mm-hmm. So,
and you've got the character models in your story. Like I saw those when you were working on it. I thought that those looked really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, those ones, they look, like, really true to the comics and kind of and look a lot like other Bruce Timm works. Yeah, a lot of those concept stuff look pretty decent. So, I'm moderately excited about it.
Eve, would you watch a Green Lantern animated show?
I probably would, but... You know, Chris said it's going to be all CGI, right? And I don't know. I don't love that.
No.
Well, I mean, like, I like what they've done with the Clone Wars. Like, if it's done in that same style, I mean, that's a lot better than, like, stuff that's been CGI before.
Though. I think as long as the story is good and it's not too juvenile, like, I'm not really into when they make it, like, really, really juvenile. So, but if it's a good story, I'll watch it, definitely.
Yeah, we'll see. All the Bruce Timm stuff in the past has been that adult level, like adults and children can enjoy it. So hopefully they'll do the same there. And something that adults might enjoy as well is Captain America Whited, if it ever comes out, Chris McDavid.
Well, they were during the one of the other Marvel panels, they kind of brought up Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's work, the Marvel series they do. They've done like Spider-Man Blue and Daredevil Yellow and Captain America White, which came out, they had a Zero issue come out about 2 years ago and haven't really seen anything since. And everybody pretty much figured that it wasn't going to be coming out or didn't know what the status on it was. But Jeff Loeb was at the mentioned that Tim Sale is still at work on it, still working on pages. They're waiting pretty much to have the whole thing finished before they release it. But it's still being worked on. And basically said that, I mean, if you've seen any of the other stories, there's a lot of work that goes into those pages. So it's not surprising that it's taken a while. So they're just going to wait till they have everything out. And they're planning to get it done and before the movie so they can have probably a nice collection or at least the issues coming out. And I don't know, you guys are fans of those books, right? I know Hunter has probably enjoyed the.
I'm a huge fan of those two together, in general. Like all of them, whenever they're together, I really like it.
Yeah, I love the color series, all of the Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Hulk. And when Captain America White, the issue zero came out, I was like, yeah, this is gonna be great. And I loved that first issue, the issue zero. I thought was great. And then 2 years later, here I am still wondering when the first issue is going to come out. But I'm excited for this. I'm glad they're actually still working on it, and it's still coming down the pipe.
So. Yeah, so I was excited to hear that, and they kind of mentioned that they have plans for another one, which will probably be out maybe sometime before I die, but yay. I'm not holding my breath on that.
The Hunter and Chris, you missed out because I had Hulk Gray in the box of comics that I was giving away that you guys are sitting right next to.
Now, I have both the issues and the hardcover, so.
Oh, okay.
I don't really.
Well, had you opened it yet?
Yeah, I read it. I have a single issue.
Okay.
Are you
I
sure?
Have a single issue. Can we
verify that?
I didn't know if you had opened those issues yet.
They're not still in the plastic?
Well, they're in plastic because they're in the plastic with boards, but I did read them when they came out.
And Chris McDavid was also at the Marvel's X-Men panel, is that correct?
Does it seem like I'm the only one who actually went to any panels in New York? What were you guys doing? I went to
one comics-related one.
I went to three. One was about merchandising for DC Comics. One was one that you and I went to, Chris. And then one was a panel for a website. So I didn't really come back with a lot of panel information.
I guess not. Wow.
And most of that was...
It's a good thing one of us were working that weekend.
Well, I was working something else, buddy.
Whatever.
He was doing other things. He had some interviews he was doing that are non-comics related. And I was on the movies TV beat.
Whatever. Anyway.
Marvel's X-Men. Okay, this is like the Chris McDavid episode. You should be thrilled.
Chris.
This is true. I am thrilled. I'm always thrilled to hear my own voice.
I was there on behalf of Gotham Central. So that's kind of what
I was there for Gotham Central.
Shut up. I'm trying to explain why I didn't write much for here.
And I'm trying to make fun of it.
Justin, he didn't write much.
Much
equals zero. Tweet that.
What? Let your hatred flow. We talked about X-Force on the other episode we did this week. So what's going on in the X-Men universe, Chris McDavid? Because I have no idea.
Oh, there's tons of stuff going on.
Yeah, that was one thing from the previous episode. They all came to the conclusion that they all have no idea what the hell is going on in the X-Men universe.
That makes
sense. It's not that complicated. I mean, there's like 12 dozen books, and Wolverine is in... Wolverine has what, like 3-4 series? 5 at least?
I don't know.
Some more coming up. They're going to have...
The only thing I know is he's dead and he's in hell in one of them.
Yeah, but he's fine in all the rest of them, so that one doesn't count. But he's getting another miniseries in January called Wolverine and Jubilee. That one's going to pick off from the X-Men series with all the vampires and stuff. That one should actually look pretty good because with Phil Noto on art, should be pretty decent to look at. Let's see, what else do we got? I'm kind of flipping through some notes here. They're going to have a Wolverine and Hercules series. Probably like 12 more Wolverine stories that they didn't even announce. And probably the big one, kind of their mystery one, they announced something called Age of X, which is sounds like it's going to be some kind of sequel almost to Age of Apocalypse, which was a big story from the 90s. But they showed kind of a preview image that you can see in the article. Had a bunch of silhouette characters that are going to be in the series. And they're going to be, if you go to Marvel.com over the next couple of weeks, they're going to be revealing who's writing the series, who's doing the art on it, and who the characters are. So there'll be more information on that coming out. Age of X is coming out in January, too. So, but yeah, and then they were just talking about all the other books that are kind of in the middle and showed some stuff for Uncanny X-Force, which I finally got a chance to read the first issue. That one was pretty good. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys thought about it on Monday.
Yeah. So that was the Chris McDavid experience at New York Comic Con.
That sounds like a horrible ride.
Let's get the Hunter Camp and...
It was not, actually. I mean, it was like, it's a lot of sitting around, but I got to... kind of interact with a lot of fans, and
you got to meet one of the coolest people in the world named Hunter Camp.
I did not do that. Well,
you got to eat good Italian food.
This is true, but I had a good time at the show. There was it was kind of nice to just interact with comic fans that you know are there just for the comics, as opposed to some of the other shows where it's like TV fans or.
Well,
stuff
we
like
should
that.
Probably mention, though, that the New York Comic Con was happening at the convention center at the same time as the New York Anime Festival.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Pretty much the convention center was, like, infested, you can say, with anime cosplay people.
Yes, there were a lot of anime cosplayers.
So that caused a little bit of a problem because
there was so much Pokemon, it was insane. You could not catch them all at all.
Wow, that was bad.
Well, come on, guys.
No, I'm not even giving I'm just going to let that one go. I shouldn't even.
All right, that's whatever.
Let's just move on. What did you do at the show, Hunter?
Well, I walked around a lot. Got some stuff. I talked to some creators. A lot of it was more Batman-related stuff for a different project that I work on. But I know that you and I both got to go to the DC Universe panel. Now, do you
yes,
recall this at all, Mr. McDavid?
If I remembered it, I wasn't actually there, so no, I don't.
Okay, well, that's true. I did see you taking notes, so I know that you have notes on it.
I should have them somewhere. That sounds like too much work to actually flip through and find it. There it is.
How much work was that?
That was like, I don't know, flipped over a couple of pages. It was a little work.
Well, in that, they had we found out that J.T. Kroll is not J.T. Kroll. He's actually J.T. Kroll is how you're
Kroll. That's correct.
Yes, the correct pronunciation of his name is Kroll. JMS was there, and he talked some Earth One and Superman and Wonder Woman. So Gail Simone was there, talked about stuff that was coming up in Birds of Prey. There's going to be a Death of Oracle storyline. And it's kind of like how it affects the entire DC universe. Peter J. Tomasi was there, and he talked a little bit about Batman and Robin. And do you have details with you, Chris?
Yeah, I got a few. I was remembering he talked about. I'm drawing a blank. I'm trying to find those. Son of a mother. I didn't write much down on that.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, because it was kind of boring. No. I know he was talking about how the when Grant Morrison was on Batman and Robin, they've been doing the three-issue arcs. And he's kind of stick somewhat with that, but do whatever the story needs. Like the first arc, he said, is going to be four issues, and then probably take it from there. But it's kind of keeping the same format.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really talk that much about what the story was in it.
Yeah, and he didn't really talk much about anything, honestly. But now that
this is true.
He kind of talked about some stuff that's coming in Blackest Night, or Brightest Day, I mean.
Yeah.
J.T. Krull talked a little bit about Teen Titans coming up. And actually, they also said that Nick Spencer showed up. And Nick Spencer is actually coming on to Supergirl. And he's going to be using a lot of characters. He's going to basically use any teen character in the DC universe. And that includes, like, Damian. That includes Batgirl. That includes
All the Teen Titans.
Yeah, pretty much all the Teen Titans. He's going to be using in Supergirl. And so Nick Spencer, who did Morning Glories, the Jimmy Olsen backup, Existence 2.0, Existence 3.0, a lot of stuff will be coming on Supergirl. So that I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see what he's got in store for that, because I really enjoyed his writing. Trying to think of what else.
They did bring up, because when they announced that they're lowering the price on all their books from $3.99 to $2.99, and cutting the backup stories. They didn't mention how they're gonna like any one that's still in the middle is gonna get like a one shot or some kind of special.
Yeah,
basically to complete the story. Like the Jimmy Olsen one, which had just started, is gonna get a one shot. And then
I think they're gonna be able to finish this arc.
Yeah,
they've started, and then it's gonna go to like a one shot. And again, they also said depending on how well the one shots do, they'll make miniseries out of them and maybe ongoings.
Yeah, and then probably one of the surprising ones was James Robinson let slip that they're gonna do a Hawkman. Did he say it gonna be a special or a miniseries?
It's not gonna be a one shot because
it's not.
He clarified that, you know, he said one like. Ian Sattler, when he was talking to him, said the one shot that he was working on, and he said Hawkman. He said, "No, not that. I'm talking about the one shot." And so they kind of accidentally let slip that they're going to be doing. I don't know if it's going to be an ongoing or a miniseries, but I don't think it's just the one shot.
Yeah. So that was kind of a surprise because I don't think the nobody on the panel was expecting them to bring that up. So, and then they also, I don't know if it's announcement or. If it had already been announced, but James Robinson is also going to be working on a miniseries for The Shade. I don't know if you guys have read Starman yet, but James Robinson pretty much reinvented The Shade in that series in the 90s. So he's coming back to him with the 12-issue series. That one I'm kind of looking forward to because I've been catching up on Starman with the hardcovers and I've been enjoying that, so.
Totally, Chris McDavid, totally.
That's right. and then, I don't know, there's just a bunch of plenty of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that panel, that was pretty much all. That's not all from the panel, but that was pretty much the high points.
Yeah.
And that's really the only one that I really got to, so.
Yeah. There was, I can't say I haven't gotten a chance to write it up yet, but there was some stuff from the Marvel Cup of Joe panel on Saturday. Probably the big one out of that was the Bendis and Maleev new Moon Knight series coming sometime next year, and they said that it's not going to interrupt their work on their Scarlet series from Icon. So I'm kind of curious to see how they fit that into the schedule.
I hope the Scarlet's like pretty much close to being completed.
What I'm not sure how long Scarlet is going to run. If it's, I don't think it's a miniseries. It's an ongoing.
See, I would think it was a miniseries because pretty much all of the books on Icon like have short runs at least.
Well, I mean, except for what Bendis does with Powers,
Well, powers also will come back and then go away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And actually, it's going to go away for a little while because they also announced that Bendis and Michael A. Van Omen, who normally do powers, they're going to have a graphic novel out in February called Takio, which sounds like it's going to be something different from Icon, in that it's going to be an all ages book.
Oh, wow.
And like most of the stuff that's come out from Icon has been
not all ages at all.
Mature readers at the least. So that one was kind of interesting. It's pretty much the last one that I got to.
Eve, would you like to share your experience with us?
Well, the only comics sort of related, aside from the Walking Dead TV series, which was covered in the previous episode. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was covered in Flicks of Doom. The only other one I went to was the DC animated panel, where they showed footage from two of their upcoming home video releases. The first one was Superman Shazam Return of the Black Adam.
Black Adam.
Okay. They showed that one, and it's you kind of get Billy Batson's origin story yet again, and you see Black Adam fighting Superman. Superman is trying to protect Billy Batson, and so they end up fighting, and Black Adam uses magic, and Superman uses heat vision. Like, that's how they psych each other out. I don't know. I found it to be that was the whole thing. It was like, you know, like Black Adam, like, you know, hurls magic at Superman's chest and sends him flying back, and Superman is like, you know, picking himself off the ground, and he goes, magic, like he's like annoyed, you know, and then he's like, Black Adam's like, oh, I see you have an invulnerability to magic, and he's like, yeah, but what about heat vision? And he like, you know, like, it was just
I gotta say, that sounds totally
that description awesome. Sounds very good.
That sounds amazing.
your description has sold me.
I'm serious though. Like, I love that. Sounds so fantastic to me. Like,
yeah, that's what it is. Cool. That's what it is. And they're fighting, and it's like really silly and yeah, very juvenile, I'd say. So, but yeah, but you see both of them being smashed into buildings, and I'm pretty sure they knocked down the Washington Monument. So, there's a lot of that, and then there's the whole scene where Billy Batson goes underground to where the wizard is, and you see the seven deadly enemies of man. It's very similar to if you read Jeff Smith's Shazam series. It's got that same panel where Billy goes down and meets the wizard, and that's when he becomes he gets the powers to be Captain Marvel, and then when he goes back to the surface, he doesn't know how to become Captain Marvel, and then of course Black Adam comes and he's like, ha ha, I see the wizard has endowed you with powers, but you don't know how to use them, ha ha, you know, and I forget how, but somehow he ends up saying Shazam, and he turns into Captain Marvel, and he's like. Really strong, but he's like, I'm big, you know, and then like he punches Black Adam and he's like, I'm strong, and then he starts flying and he's like, and I can fly, you know, and somehow, and he's like, he's flying through the air and he goes, and all I had to do was say Shazam, and obviously he turns back into Billy Batson in midair. He's like, whoa. So it
sounds like they're using the Superman name to make a Shazam movie.
Pretty much. Superman is supposed to be his protector.
It's supposed to be a short, right?
It is a short, yeah. It's part of the DC animated shorts that's going to have Jonah Hex and Green Arrow on it.
Oh, so it's not a full-length series or
I think it's
movie.
24 minutes. 24 minutes, I think it is.
Okay, so a bit longer than the shorts, but not a full-length movie.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be that's the name of the DVD that's coming out. Like, so that's the main focus of it, and then you'll have the other shorts that are with it that are, you know, not as long, I guess.
That have already been out.
Yeah, I think so. Though, yeah, they've been on other releases, right? They've been on other home video releases. So yeah, so that was that one. And then the second thing they did, which I was actually more interested in, was the All-Star Superman feature that's coming out soon. And for that, they showed, I think they showed about 5 or so minutes of that. And I was telling Justin offline about this a little bit, that they did change things a little bit from the Grant Morrison comic. So it's not like you're going to get, like, if you've read the comic, it's not like you're not going to have any surprises. But with that being said, from what the footage I saw, like, I knew what was going to happen because I've read the comic. And so, you know, you have Superman saving the ship from the sun. You have the iconic kiss on the moon. The challenge with Atlas and Samson. All that is in it. And they showed the prison scene where Parasite is there, and he's like, "Need more power," you know, that one. So, I mean, Justin might not be too thrilled because I think it's going to be pretty faithful. But actually, what they said is that they had to cut out a lot from the comic book because the comic book is 12 issues, and this is only, you know, 90 minutes or so, or now. I don't even know how long it's going to be, but it's not going to be that long. But
it needs to be 12 hours long, at least.
Yeah, well, apparently it does. It does need to be. But I loved how it looked, and I really liked what I saw. I'm looking forward to this one a lot.
I did hear talk that Grant Morrison was actually, like, on the floor, I heard people talking, and they said that Grant Morrison himself was really pleased with how it turned out.
Well, this is what they said. I wrote down in my notes that they said Grant Morrison had seen it and is, quote, amazed by what happened to the story. So he apparently likes whatever.
Yeah, but he was probably baked when he was watching.
That's true. It's probably on a different level of existence.
Yes.
Hunter Camp, you didn't talk about the Grant Morrison documentary.
I didn't get a chance to go.
What?
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral.
I know.
So, Hunter, you probably know this already, but they said they're doing Batman Year One.
I think Dexter Vines or somebody.
They also said that, like, Hush is a possibility, like, because people were asking, like, oh, would you do this? Would you do that? And they were like, well, that's a possibility. You know, like, they gave the nod, like, that's a possibility. Bruce Timm was on the panel, so.
We'll see about
Hush. And they said for Batman Year One, which is coming out next fall, they said they are going to have a casting announcement really soon. They already have it cast. So
it better be Kevin Conroy.
No, they'll probably go a different way on that one.
I don't care.
I don't know.
I don't care what they do.
Kevin Conroy isn't Batman and everything, so
he should be.
I'm guessing it's going to be different, mainly because of the fact that they're like, okay, we're going to have a casting announcement, and they're, you know, like, they're being secretive about it, which implies that, oh, it's not going to be the same people you know we always use.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but I could say who's cast as a voice, and he may or may not be on this podcast.
What?
I'm intrigued.
I'm just saying, he might not be on this podcast.
Yay!
Whoever's the voice.
We'll see, Chris McDavid.
Yeah.
We'll
see.
So that was my basic experience. And I also went to Walking Dead, and I saw they showed 6.5 minutes of the Walking Dead TV show, and it looks awesome. And for that one, they actually, again, if you've read the comic, you're going to know it's zombie apocalypse. There's zombies. They have the characters that you know from the comic book. But they did change up the scenarios. Like, we saw the one where the boy Glenn meets Rick Grimes for the first time and helps him when they're in the city surrounded by zombies. But it's not exactly the same as from the comic. And then also, they added, I don't know, it seemed like they added a lot of survivors from, like, it's not the, I don't know how many there were originally, 9 or something. Like, it looks like there might be, like, double the amount. And also, they added, like, new characters who aren't with the, you know, there's a group of survivors we know from that first volume that with the trailer and everything where Rick's family is. And then there's other survivors in other places that they've added for this, and one is played by Norman Reedus. So, and he was on the panel, and people were pretty happy for him. And oh, and also, I told Justin about this, that when the actors came out, and they told the actors, okay, you know, say who you are and who you play, and a little bit about your character. And then when they got to the actor who was playing the friend, Shane, you know, it's like Rick Grimes' best friend who was with, you know, like with the people with the trailer. He got booed, and he was like, oh, thank you, thank you. He's like, you know, like, because you're supposed to boo him. You're not supposed to like him. And he was like, oh, thanks. You know, like, when I was in San Diego, no one booed at all. And he's like, thanks, New York, you know. So I thought that was pretty funny. But it looks great. It looks amazing. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
What is that, 3 weeks away, pretty much?
No, less than that, because we're already less on October 13th. So, well, a little bit over 2 weeks, Halloween night.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better hide your kids and hide your wife.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you guys, it doesn't have to be necessarily comic related, but what are some of the memories that you had from this year's New York Comic Con?
I think I was pretty happy. I got to meet, or at least shake hands with Alex Saviak, who was an artist who he did a lot of work on. He did Web of Spider-Man back in like the early 90s. He was doing Web of Spider-Man when I first started buying comics. So I was pretty excited to meet him.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to meet anybody. get to do anything.
Hunter Kent. What are you talking about?
I met Hunter and his lovely wife, April, and I got to see Chris again because I've, you know, me and Chris meet up at a lot of conventions.
That's right.
So, let me tell you guys.
Oh, and I got to meet Frank Ramblings from Tech Ramblings. Great guy.
That's true. Let me tell you guys, Chris McDavid in person is a very handsome fellow.
This is true.
They got along swimmingly, Justin. You should have seen them. They're like best buddies.
Like brothers in hate.
There was no hate. Here's the you have to understand, when they meet in person, it cancels out the hate.
Yeah. That's
no,
weird.
we just hate on everybody else, not each other.
Yeah. Right, exactly. They hate on me and my unopened.
High five.
It was both of you guys. It was both of you guys. I met Dustin Nguyen, Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti. I talked with Brian Q. Miller, who writes Batgirl. I talked to Philip Tan for a minute, and I shook hands with Neil Adams, and that was a turning point in my life, I think. I didn't really talk to him too much, but that was interesting. And also, I got a chance to interview the guys behind Kill Audio, the Kill Audio comic book that work with Evil Inc. Comics, and actually have an interview for that, which I believe you can listen to now.
Hi, this is Hunter Camp with Comics of Doom and GeeksOfDoom.com, and I'm here with Mr. Sheldon, Chandra Eckhart, and Claudio Sanchez from Kill Audio and Evil Inc. Comics. I just want to start off, you guys did a great job on Kill Audio. So is there anything looking forward like that you guys are going to do in that same universe, or just...
Spill the beans, buddy.
Oh, man. I think Sheldon just quit.
Oh. Well, I think right now what we're doing is we're working on a weekly comic strip called Rad Weekend.
Oh, awesome.
That incorporates all of the characters from the Kill Audio universe leading up to Kill Audio 2.
Okay, great.
Right now we're in the script phase of Kill Audio 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now Rad Weekend is kind of... Okay. Like the first priority, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We'll start.
And it's good, like, it's everything that happens between the panels of like the regular strips.
Okay,
know?
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's just it adds that little bit more depth to every sort of character, and it builds a fondness.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, is that going to be something that's like in Pop Gun, or because I know you guys like kind of premiered Kill Audio and Pop Gun, or is that going to be like a web comic?
Well, at this point, we're talking web comic. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, once every Friday. Also looking for like a partner.
Okay,
some sort of site to house it.
Now, I mean, you guys have been working with Boom. How's that? Is that going well? I mean, I know you're doing In Keeping Secrets there.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something you're kind of are you looking to them again?
Or? I mean, for Rad Weekend, I'm not so sure. I mean, Kill Audio 2, mm-hmm. Yes. But Rad Weekend, I think, is going to be a little you know.
Yeah, Rad Weekend will just be web based, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're essentially looking to publish it outside of the story itself.
Okay.
So that, that means
we would like to.
We want to put all the rude stuff
in. Sometimes we write.
Yeah, because actually, that was actually. With Killaudio, there was a lot of the Fudger type things.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, at the same time...
We're typing that out, by the way. We're putting the black bars and everyone will make up their own fucking
that's
mind.
That's fine.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. I actually thought that was kind of like... there was a little bit of charm to that. Like, so, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people thought that that was actually kind of funny. It also got some criticism just because it kind of seemed like that was... just a little bizarre that it kind of went that way, but I mean, with the way that the story was anyway, it kind of like housed the bizarre style.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, like it kind of fit at the same time. So I mean, like I look forward to either way because you know.
No, but I see it like it's not like we ever relied on naughty language or anything like that.
No,
it was always something at an emphasizing point.
Yeah.
And hey, I mean, the kids are saying it and they like to hear it, so
and
why
you have
not
to
give
be
it
creative. I mean, we will literally go through our old scripts and like, you know, I put ass. Into the search, and it would come up with like 50 of them in an issue, and we're like, all right,
that's awesome.
Let's go through this and see what we can.
That's hilarious.
Bottom bum, bloomers.
But, you're right. I'm glad that you found charm in that.
Yes, I mean there was. I mean, like it was humorous, so it kind of fit. You're working on the Amory Wars right now with Peter David and Chris Burnham, and I know you guys were at Image before with Second Stage Turbo and Blade. Are you guys looking to do, like, to keep on with the entire mythos, or are you sticking just to, like, this and kind of being done with it?
No, we are. We're going to revisit Good Apollo 1 mm-hmm. and then continue on into Good Apollo 2, possibly do an adaptation of Year of the Black Rainbow.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to tell it.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so I know we talked earlier about, like, future projects. So I kind of wanted to go over that again. Now, is there anything else that like you're working on, like outside of what you're doing with them?
Oh yeah, I got a full page entry in Strange Tales for Marvel that's mm-hmm. coming out this month, and after that, there's talks of an X-Men anthology that I might have a small thing in. So Marvel's taking notice of me, which is a good thing.
That's very good.
I'm stoked with that. And but at the same time, I've got these other side things and. Working with Claudio and Chandra is always a lot more fun than anything else I've had. And then I've had this porno comic thing that's been happening back home, and I'm really finding my feet with that. Like, I'm actually comfortable drawing with that. It all falls out of me. But,
I mean,
get your minds out of my pants.
But, yeah, other than that, it's Supertron was a massive letdown, but don't get me started. But
I mean, it was a great comic. I enjoyed it.
I like doing it, but it was what it was, and I don't know if that's ever going to see an end or a future. Or
so there's like, just to go with I guess to follow Zuda, DC's not offering to do something with their digital app.
I have no idea. I think they just really wanted to make something off of what they invested in me, which was a fair amount, and they probably weren't making that off the website, so they have to chuck it on Comixology and see if that drums up any sort of notice, and it's all really boring number talk
but
anyway.
If anything, you know, it's getting it out there. Mm-hmm. Sheldon's super talented. It's nice to have, even if, you know, it's not coming immediately back to him, just to have his work.
I just want it to be read, you know?
Yeah.
Having 2 years of work and 120 pages completely unseen
is
a big kick in the guts. But
I know a few people that are really like into indie comics that really did love Zuda, and like we all kind of like, and
it was,
you know,
a lot
I was
good content on
absolutely. Yeah. I was a really big fan of it, and it seemed like it just kind of didn't work because of the model that they had. And it seems like with the way that digital comics are going now, it seems like that would be a more open environment, like a better environment for it.
I think the first 60 pages of Supertron has seen more attention on the app than it ever did online.
Yeah, so that's
but
good.
That's all.
That's
done.
Yeah. Okay. And Chandra, anything that's coming up just from you?
Well, I mean, in terms of just for me, I was saying earlier, I finished a 6-part series that I'm sort of shopping around. It's an all ages title, but it's a little difficult to go from something like Kill Audio to something that's essentially meant for children. So I'm holding on to it for a hot minute and seeing, digesting. And Claude and I started working on another series together that's completely outside of the Kill Audio and the Memory War spectrum.
And I know that both of you have experimented with prose. And you know, is there anything that you guys are trying to do with that?
Oh, I've been working on a novel for 6 or 7 months, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
You know, chugging away at it.
And what was that called?
Well, it's tentatively titled.
I don't eat meat anymore.
No. I don't know if I want to put a title on it just yet.
Okay, and Claudio, anything outside of Kill Audio and the Amory Wars?
Well, like Chandra said, we're working on a series called, it's called Subway Series, actually, with a Z instead of an S at the end. It's a zombie town.
That's fun.
Oh, wait, you're not the main character?
No, I'm not the main character. I'm not. Finally. I broke out of it. It's actually a zombie story. It takes place in New York. It's basically kind of like a Western. This guy gets put in between the two houses of Yankee and Met, and basically kind of gets them to wage war against each other.
That's awesome. That's
really first cool.
I like it.
I was trying to tell you about it earlier.
I'm not drawing it.
You play your cards right. Oh, all right.
That was when things were falling out of you.
So what got each of you like kind of into comics? I mean, like for most people that are into comics, it's kind of been a lifelong thing. But is like there anything in specific? Like for me, bringing me back, it was like Long Halloween, and then like starting up, you know, I'm a huge Batman fan, so like kind of stuff like that. So with you guys, like what kind of brought you into the world?
Funnily enough, my first comic was this comic called Gonad Man, and it was a strip just published in the back of a surf magazine for so many years, and they collected it, and it's just all about a guy that was the illegitimate child of one of the castaways from Gilligan's Island. And he takes a chunk of the boat and he grows up. He's this massive cock. And he like sticks it in the water.
How old were you?
I was like 13, 14. Oh, okay. And it was just so crudely drawn. The story was genius.
Yeah.
And then I went to animation school and I hated animating stuff. And I really liked the idea of making short films. But I was never ready to put the time or work with other people and have a team make something. Yeah. So comics was kind of like a default thing that I fell back on, but ended up loving. So I never really grew up with like, I never read Spider-Man.
Yeah, like traditional stuff, yeah.
We're a perfect fit because most of my stuff comes from music. Like I get a lot of story information.
And that was something that was really kind of obvious with Kill Audio. I mean, like the musical influence was insane.
Perfect, that was
fun. I'm kind of like, you know, between these two, I grew up, when I was a little girl, I used to read Archie comics religiously.
Who did?
Religiously.
I mean, I read some Archie comics, so it's like, okay.
And only as an adult do I, my mom was like, you used to love comics, you know, when we go to the grocery store. And I remembered, oh my God, I would pick up this thing instead of a magazine or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then from the time that I was old enough to comprehend that maybe comic books weren't super awesome or super cool in my group of friends, I just turned my back on them until...
I mean, that happened with a lot of people in the 90s anyway, so...
Yeah, literally. Like, I had never gave it another passing thought until Claudio and I met, and he was very into comic books, whereas I'm very much into literature. You know, I'm certainly like a prose snob of sorts. But he introduced me just to the idea that, that comics don't have to be... They don't have to be all superheroes. You know, I read Why the Last Man and just, you know, went through and read the entire series and loved it, and awesome. Fables, and, you know, so now I've kind of gone back and started reading the classics and doing the homework on that stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Claudia?
I mean, I've always loved it. I mean, as a kid, I mean, I have pictures of me and my brother holding each other wearing Spider-Man Incredible Hulk shirts. And then, like, growing up watching The Incredible Hulk and hearing Stan Lee's voice as the narrator and, okay, well, what is this? And around like fourth grade, I started going to comic shops at, you know, every Wednesday with a friend of mine. And I think it was around the time that Todd McFarlane started drawing Spider-Man that I really took more of an interest in it. And I actually wanted to be an artist, but I just couldn't do sequential art.
Yeah.
Like that. I just don't have the eyes and patience for it. And then just like continued from there and started to get outside of the superhero world and started reading more creator-owned stuff.
Yeah.
Getting into like Watchmen and Transmetropolitan and whatever have you, you know, just you know, whenever I had the chance to read something.
Oh, awesome.
You know,
yeah.
Whenever. But yeah, and then I realized, you know, when I started to become a lyricist in a band, I had this hard time confessing myself in the songs, mm-hmm. and because I had this love for comics, I was like, well, maybe this is an interesting way for me to tell my story, basically hide behind a piece of fiction and use comics as that avenue to express it. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Okay. I think that's kind of, we've already talked about kind of the future of what you guys are going to do, so I think that's going to wrap it up. But thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Again, gigsofdoom.com, Comics of Doom podcast. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Yeah. That was great.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Hunter Camp. We hope the listeners enjoyed that lovely interview. And I think that's going to wrap up this special New York Comic Con edition of the Comics of Doom podcast. Don't forget, we were sponsored by In Stock Trades and DCB Service. If you want to get some comics at a nice discounted price, go over to InStockTrades.com or DCB Service, that's DiscountComicBookService.com, to save money on all those comics. Next week, we may have a special guest next week, normal back to basics Hunter Camp, the normal format of the show. We will return, but we would like to thank Empress Eve for joining us.
Ooh, ooh.
And thank you for listening, my friends. So, don't forget, you can always visit us, geeksofdoom.com. Follow us on Twitter at Comics of Doom. Send us an email, comicsofdoom@gmail.com. Or you can go to iTunes, subscribe to our lovely show, and leave us a comment. Or be a Hunter Camp. So, until next time, my friends.
That means you're really cool. That's
yeah.
What being a Hunter Camp is.
All right. I'm walking.
On behalf of Hunter Camp, Empress Eve and Chris McDavid, I wish you love, luck, and lollipops.
Which I believe you can listen to now.
You can?
I don't know. What Sorry, was your hold on one second.
What happened?
Are you getting, is this another call, or are you just...
No, just start over again. Just start, do the whole thing fresh.
Something else that adults might like. McDavid, that's exactly what he said.
What did he say?
All right.
I'm not paying attention.
And then I said,
way to ruin his segue.
Seriously, he could just delete that. Or if you say, oh yeah, actually, it's at the end of
Eve of Doom. Ruiner of segues.
It sounded like the end of the episode, pretty much.
It's my ass.
All right, that's going in.
The Sunday night football game needs to start 15 minutes earlier so I can watch all of Venture Brothers, because it always goes into Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
It's really pissing me off.
Justin, tell them what to do.